You are listening to
Southend City Radio.
Hello, welcome to Sleep and Thrive, the podcast dedicated to helping you unlock the power of a good night's sleep. In this fast-paced world where sleep often takes a back seat to our daily demands, we'll explore the fascinating science, practical tips, and inspiring stories that highlight the critical role sleep plays on our physical and mental well-being. Joining me again for this episode of Sleep and Thrive is Dan Everson, sleep coach. Dan, how did you sleep last night?
Oh, should I say amazing or terrible for this episode? It's supposed to be a serious topic.
This is very, very serious stuff. Good to have you back. Last night we were discussing sleep routines and unwinding and the whole process of getting ready to go to bed. This morning we're going to talk about sleep routines, but the other side of sleep.
Yeah, we're going to talk about the other bookmark in the journey of good sleep.
Once he has risen.
Yeah. I think I've had three coffees down now. Three coffees down, I've got matchsticks on my eyes, so I'm definitely awake. I'm ready.
He's wired. He's ready to go.
I'm absolutely wired. It's funny how, you know, when I say this next sentence, people are like, oh, really? But, you know, your great night of sleep or your good quality sleep or your next night of sleep starts as soon as you wake up. It's like, oh, don't say that. But
already getting ready for bed. You just woke up.
But for some people, do you know what? They wake up and they think, oh, how many hours until I can go back to sleep again? How long until I can just go to bed?
Yeah, that alarm goes and you go, I'm not getting out.
This is just the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's minus two.
This time of year, that's the thing, isn't it?
And so this is a huge area that I certainly spend the winter months with clients talking about is just getting out of bed. Honestly, the amount of messages and, you know, support, very supportive throughout, but it's just trying to just pull levers to get people out of bed. Because why do you want to get out of a nice, warm, cozy bed when you're underslept and it's dark and cold? The last thing your brain wants to do is hop out with a smile. So just like I have to go to these people's bedrooms and just drag them out of bed, kicking and screaming.
Maybe that should is that part of the routine?
That should be part of the service.
As the coach. Yeah. I'll come and drag you out of bed.
I'm going to drag you up by seven. Hit you with a stick. Just shine torches in your eyes.
Bang a saucepan outside your window. So I'm thinking like a morning routine and dragging people out of bed. The thing that comes to mind straight away is the Wallace and Gromit scene where. The alarm goes and then he just gets flinged out of bed in the trousers, downstairs having his toast in one move.
Jam on toast, cup of tea, cheers, Gromit. Yeah, we all need a Gromit in our lives. Make our breakfast and sling us out of bed. I wish I had one of those home for the kids, actually. They'll fly into the kitchen, like, backward pyjamas on and sort of rubbing their eyes, trying to stand on one leg as I throw toast at them. That would be quite cool. That would be good if there was, like, your alarm, and there are, do you know what, there are some on the market, these crazy alarms where people put £20 note in like a shredder across the room.
Oh, wow.
And if they don't get over and stop it or turn it off within like 20 seconds, it just shreds the money.
Oh, that would get you up, wouldn't it?
I've heard of people having this like on like an app, like a digital app, and it will send $10 to, you know, the anti-establishment political party that you do not want to follow. And they send £10 every time you press snooze, it sends like a tenner to their sort of fund.
Oh, wow.
And there are these types of things out there, which sounds extreme, but it can sometimes get down to that when you want to get someone out of bed or you want to get out of bed yourself.
So it feels kind of alien, though, to be talking to a sleep coach about how it's important to get up and get out of bed when you don't want to get up and get out of bed.
Yeah, I'm like the weight coach, you know.
Yeah.
Sleep and weight coach. Maybe I should change my name.
The wake coach. Yeah. Wonder that makes you sound like you're going to be doing woke things.
Yeah, that's far too close.
So.
One vowel away from
totally different career path.
Completely narrowing my market. But I think I do say to some people, you know, if you want to perform well at life, because most people do, people say, oh, do you know what? I'm really after bang average. Most people say,
I'd love to achieve just mediocre, please.
Yeah. I don't want to make my parents proud of me. I just want to just wanted to leave you alone.
Bang average. That's it.
Most people say that, you know, they want to wake up the best version of themselves. They want to perform well. They want to make a difference or an impact in their lives in whatever way. And so how you perform in the day is the direct impact of how you perform at night. Mm. So how well your sleep goes depends on how well your morning. Imagine, right, you know, the car alarm goes off in the middle of the night, the dog wakes you up, your partner's snoring or moving, you might have had a few alcoholic drinks, and so you wake up needing the toilet or needing a drink, and then the alarm goes off, and it's middle of the winter, and it's dark, and it's cold, and you spend trying to drag yourself out of bed, and you probably hit a few emails and maybe some social media before you get out of bed.
Yeah.
And then you just feel absolutely terrible and go, right, I'm just going to go and win the day. You know, you don't. No, that's not happening. What I'm going to do?
Regardless, I'm just going.
I'm going to stay in my slippers in this dark room. I might not off again if I put some really terrible daytime TV on. I'm going to hit a few cups of coffee and caffeine and energy drinks. And yeah. At some stage, you know, I might actually move my body. and so that can be a realistic event for some people, especially on the
weekend. Sounds like a Sunday.
Yeah. Sounds like a Sunday. Yeah, exactly. And so we're not talking about, you know, winning the day every day and performing at your best every single day, because that's just not life. And we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for some progress. And if you say, look, you know, I just want to feel a bit better in the mornings, then this is the place to come to listen to what one thing can I do just to feel a little bit better in the mornings. And, of course, some of this is around science and some of this is around habits and routine. But it's just an analogy I'll use, and you might want to duck for cover, because whenever I say I'm going to use an analogy, who knows what's going to happen.
Here we go.
Uh-oh.
It could be anything. Is it going to be a tiger? Is it going to be a roller coaster?
What's the analogy?
Or a roundabout?
It's
a laptop.
I was just thinking about the analogy where...
A car.
Okay, going for a run.
Okay, that one. We're going for a run.
So you're going to go for a run, okay. What do you do before the run? You normally... you know, you check your route, you plan your route, you might wear a watch, you want to check on how, you're going to want to know how you're going to go for, where you're going to go, you're going to probably wear some decent sports running wear and some decent trainers.
Don't get blisters. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going to not eat food, you might have a little bit of water and hydrate before you go.
Should get indigestion, yeah, doing that.
Yeah, wear the appropriate clothes, and then you do everything you can to optimise that run. Because you're not going to wear, like, cut-down jeans, flip-flops, eat a three-course meal, guzzle a load of water, have no clue where you're going, dress inappropriately because it's pouring down, get yourself lost because you're going to go through the woods or whatever. If you do that, you're not going to optimise and give yourself the best chance of a really efficient, good, healthy run.
Making the whole point of going is to have a good run.
You're going to be throwing up around, you're going around two bends, you'll be throwing up your breakfast. And you've realised what you're throwing up on your flip-flops. And you should definitely not start.
You shouldn't have worn flip-flops all this day. Yeah, that's it.
So if
sounds awful.
If you want to optimise that performance of that run, then you need to do things beforehand, which I know we're talking about, this analogy sort of ties in with eating routines. Stuff you do before you go to bed, like stuff you do before you go for a run, is really important to optimise that sleep time or optimise that run. Mm. And the same is on the back end of that. Like when you wake up, you finish your run, you think, that's it, I'm done. No, you're probably going to stretch. You're probably going to slow your heart rate down. You might drink some water and hydrate. You're probably going to have some food to fuel your body afterwards. You're probably going to have a shower and change clothes. So there's things you do before the run and there's things you do after the run, because you want to, again, you want to make sure that you recover well and that this propels you into your next number of actions, versus just sort of going, right, I'm going to start working now and dripping sweat everywhere and stinking out of the office and your tummy's rumbling.
Because you run straight into the office.
And prepared your food and you dry mouth. You can't even speak because you're so thirsty. There's things you do afterwards. That might be a poor analogy of what we're speaking about, but it's just worth understanding that there's things you do after you sleep, which are vitally important. And going back to the thing I said at the start is your good night's sleep, your best night of sleep, or the next night of sleep starts as soon as you wake up. And that's because as soon as you wake up, as soon as you have light in your eyes, whether it's natural or artificial, we'll come on to that in a second, that sort of stamps a time in your brain to say, bang.
Daytime.
Yeah,
you're daytime.
And when that starts like a countdown of about 16 hours, 14 to 16, depending on a person. And in 14 or 16 hours, we know that it's going to be time to turn off all these daytime functioning chemicals and hormones and start to wind down for bed.
Yeah.
And that's why its regularity is so important. I mentioned to you before, if you get up at the same time every day, then that date, that stamp and that time becomes an automatic, and we start to produce certain chemicals and hormones before we even wake up, because it knows you're going to be waking up within an hour or two. So when you wake up, as soon as you wake up, the first thing you need to do is get light in your eyes. And that is going to, the things that wake us up in the mornings are temperature, light, and the increasing hormone of cortisol, which is what wakes us up, which is a great hormone, and some gets a lot of bad press around the stress hormone. But we wake up when we have elevated levels of cortisol in our system.
So you want to make yourself stressed to get up.
Yeah, that wakes us up. We also have a rising core temperature. So I mentioned temperature before. So our temperature goes up and our cortisol goes up, and that's what wakes us up. We can't control waking. We try to with alarm clocks.
Yeah.
And light is another one.
And I guess all an alarm clock is triggering that kind of fight or flight thing where you're like, oh God, there's a loud noise going. What's that?
100%. Which is why, if we did talk about snoozing and alarms, and we'll talk about it maybe in a second when we talk about waking up and what that does to you, but certainly the things that wake us up are going to be light, are going to be temperature, and our cortisol release. Now, we can't control those things. Light, of course, coming into our rooms, if it's just the middle of summertime and the sun comes up at 10 to 6.
Really early, yeah.
Then, of course, it's going to wake you up because your temperature and cortisol start to elevate from 3 a.m. in the morning, or within a couple of hours before you wake. So if you wake at 6, about 4 a.m., your temperature starts slowly to increase, and as it starts to rise, and it wakes you up around 6, so or 7 or whatever. Depends on your sort of preference for time to wake. So it's important to understand that temperature wakes you up, and so does light. So if you're in a light environment, then you're going to want to have blackout curtains and blackout blinds and all that stuff. But what we're talking about here is waking up. So light is really important. So if you wake up, the sun hasn't come up, it's pitch black, then the thing you're going to use, the lever you're going to pull to wake you up most is light.
The light switch.
And that is number one to recalibrate your circadian rhythm, to start the clock on winding down in 16 hours' time, is to get light in your eyes. Most people, I'd recommend natural light, of course.
Yeah.
You know, lux, 20, 30,000 lux from the sun is going to wake you up in no time. 60 lux from a bedside lamp is not going to do the job. So
yeah,
you need as much natural, decent light as you can, and you can use artificial light. You can use light therapy. Some people have those lights in their rooms to wake them up.
There are some lights, aren't some alarms, and some lights that are supposed to have whatever the sun has in terms of like some...
When you first wake up, the sun's got lots of yellows and oranges. And so what we want to do is to have that into our environment, or add that into our environment. We can manipulate it. You know, if the sun's not coming up at the moment, for instance, until 7:30, and you want to get up at 6 in the morning, you're 90 minutes away from sunlight. So you want to you can manipulate a sunrise. You can have these light therapies or apps which release those oranges and yellows into your bedroom environment, even though you're asleep, on your skin, on your eyelids. This starts to speed up a process of turning off melatonin, turning on cortisol, rising temperature, and that light is going to help you to wake up. So when you wake up, you haven't felt like you've just been hit with a club hammer. You actually feel like there's a transition, like you said about winding up, like winding down. When you wind up to daytime, it can't just be wake up and then you're at operating temperature or you're at operating speed. If one has about 15 or 20 minutes, give or take.
Kind of come to you.
2015, some people, everyone I wake up, I feel dead tired. Okay, yeah, well, most people should, and that's how it works.
Because
there's still chemicals and hormones getting turned on, getting turned off, and light and stuff. So you need to understand that you're going to take 15 or 20 minutes to wake up. So don't feel like if you're not feeling 100% brilliant in the first 5-10 minutes, then that's okay. It's going to take a while. Get some light. There's lots of cues which wake us up. Movement, light being number one. Social cues, you know, using the toilet, eating food, eating breakfast, whatever, consuming stuff, and moving around. So I would say to people, just get light in your eyes. You need to go to a spare room and just artificial lights, or go get some natural light in your eyes in the morning. That will wake you up quicker than anything else. You know, if you want to have a cold shower, that's going to help. But there's anything you can do. There's a number of cues which will recalibrate our rhythms and also to wake us up. Light, movement, the types of things we need to include. So if you tiptoe in slippers around a nice dark room, you know, you're going to feel horrific for a while.
You're doing exactly the wrong things.
You're not going to feel awake. So a wind-up routine, I say wind-up because it's going to take 20 minutes, sometimes a bit longer, half an hour, for your body to be at that optimal performance. Don't expect to get out of bed with a smile and skip and be happy. And if you are, you know, super high five to you, but that's not my experience. So, and it's harder in the winter.
Nobody really wakes up like they do in those films, do they?
No.
You know, skipping from the bed to the shower.
if you like Google, you know, morning person or whatever, you see all these photos of them sort of asleep in a very light room. You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, that doesn't happen.
They're clearly an afternoon person. That's midday days.
Absolutely having it off. They've got a duvet day and someone's caught them taking a mic. So it just needs to understand that the morning time is the time where we prepare our bodies and our brains to function and perform.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen straight away. There are things you can do to improve and to speed that up. And it, like I said to you, it's by planning, preparing the night before when you wake up, it's easy to get out of bed if your slippers are there, your phone's been put 10 foot away from you, you have to get out to turn the alarm off, or there's some light therapy in the room, or you've got, you know, you're going to be literally walking to the toilet to get the drink to then go into a light environment. You've already put those things in place so that it's easier for you and your brain to go, okay, I'm going to go A, B, C, D. And then by the time I finish that...
Like laying breadcrumbs to get you up and out.
I'm pretty awake.
Yeah.
Versus I've had none of that in place. My alarm is right next to me. I'm just going to hit snooze or press that away. And we mentioned
it's like you were there this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is just, default snooze. And that becomes, like, again, an automatic sort of response is to turn the snooze off. And some people set, like, four alarms because they know they're going to have a snooze. Or they have, like, four snoozes because they know they need that amount of snoozes until they wake up.
So guess what? That is horrific. Kind of so counterproductive because then you might as well just set the alarm for the last snooze and then just...
Because what we need is light and movement.
And
you're not going to get that if you're snoozing and trying to get back to sleep again. There's evidence to show that you're not gaining any more sleep in that time. You might slip back into that dream state, that REM. You might go back into that dream you were just in, or you might fall into light sleep, but it's not going to be restorative. You're essentially, every time the alarm goes off, like you said, the fight and flight mode is activated. You know, like, oh my goodness, where's that tiger again? You're looking around. Oh, it's just a phone that's just a snooze alarm. Yeah. That's fine, you know, everything's okay. But you are perpetuating a cycle of activating your fight and flight system. You're not getting good quality because we know that
keep jumping
quality back. Sleep doesn't happen when you're in this particular mode. You can fall asleep back quickly, but it's not quality sleep, and all you're doing is just increasing the risk of a cardiac event by just, you know, having this activating sound and scenario happening, you know, like 200 years ago or back in the 1900s when it was the factories or an area, all the people that worked there would live locally and they'd just ring an absolutely humongous alarm. And that was like the wake-up call for all these people.
Huge bell on the street.
It's like, oh my gosh, you know, everyone's awake, everyone's activated, everyone's heart is going 10 to 1,000. What's that noise? Is it, you know, the bomb's dropping?
Yeah.
We've evolved a bit from that, from our alarm systems, but our response to it is still the same. So snoozing can be quite problematic. My advice would always be, if you can set an alarm, if you need an alarm to wake up, set it in a different room, set it far enough away that you have to get out of your bed.
Hit the button half asleep.
Yeah, there's still a chance you're going to go back into your bed, of course. But if you put things in place, like over you by your phone that's on, the alarm is going off, there is some slippers and a dressing gown, okay, and just chuck it on. You're still going to be semi-cozy, but at least you're moving versus diving back into the coziness. So when I speak
one
to
of
people,
those alarms that's got like a, turns into a coffee machine as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I've seen those.
Yeah.
It's tea's made, they used to call them, isn't it?
That's a motivator. If someone said, do you know what? I'm looking forward to that. Yeah? That really enjoyable coffee in the morning. Ideally, you know, our bodies don't need caffeine straight away. You just spent 7 or 8 hours of sleep. You don't need caffeine. What you need is to hydrate.
Yeah.
Your body's been without fluids, say for at least 7 or 8 hours while you've been asleep, plus the hour before bed you didn't drink anything because you're only waking up for a wee every 10 minutes. So you've had 9 or 10 hours of not being hydrated. You need to hydrate. And that's another cue to recalibrate our rhythms. Caffeine is not something we need. And I'm not judging anyone for grabbing a coffee because for some people it's just habitual, have a hot beverage in the morning.
Yeah.
But really you're alert and awake essentially after about 20 minutes. So wait at least until 20 minutes to go, am I actually dead on my feet here? And do I need caffeine here?
Yeah.
Or not? And so, I mean, if you are, you're probably underslept and you might want a wakefulness aid like caffeine or coffee to help you out. And that's not a bad thing. It's just understanding that you need to hydrate and move and you don't need to hit the caffeine quite so early. But if it's a lovely cup of coffee that you really enjoy, you're looking forward to, that's another lever that you can pull to get yourself out of bed.
I'll help you.
I can't wait to get to the next room. Because what I'm going to do is you know, I'm meeting the neighbour for a run, and that would be fun. Or I'm going to have my favourite coffee that's in there, or I'm going to go to the fridge and grab that smoothie that I made last night, which is going to be great. Or, you know, I'm going to go and do something very exciting. You know, some people need that motivator to get out, up and out of bed. You know, if you go on holiday, for instance, you can be quite excited. Some people, you wake up and you're up pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to Spain.
Yeah, it's not like you wake up and go, oh, do you know what I need to do now? Pack. You know, people normally plan ahead for that. They prepare themselves.
Most people.
Yeah. Although and they're productive the day before they go on holiday, you know, because they're bang, done this, done that, to-do list is all done, packed, all ready to go, bang, you know, the alarm goes off, I'm up and we're looking forward to it, and the holiday starts now.
Yeah.
But we don't use that.
Cliff Richard starts singing, then off you go, what courageous.
Yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's really important that we understand that we need to wind up to the day, and to impact our sleep in the nighttime, we need to move and get light as early as we can.
Yeah.
Natural, preferably natural light.
So natural light, movement, giving yourself these sort of cues to almost laying breadcrumbs to get you out of the room, out of the space and into a different area, so you're not going to go back and just hit snooze and go back to sleep. In terms of alarms, I know we keep coming back to the alarms, the kind of the klaxon standard issue loud alarm that goes off and starts everybody off with this element of dread. I know there's all sorts of other things where you can have like a vibration thing, or I had one once that's made the sound of bird song.
Oh yeah, nice.
Which was lovely, apart from the fact there was once a bird nest outside, which then used to throw me because I'd be like, oh no, it's not actually now. It's the real birds, not the pretend birds.
It's 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, quick, get up. Oh no, I'm already awake. Those kind of things, are they helpful? Are they a good idea? Or is there sort of a... Can it be distracting?
Anything that will wake you up in a phased way. You know, that's a terrible English, but like the light therapy, it isn't just sunlight, you know, the sun's blazing. It's slowly, you know, the blues into oranges builds and up into the reds. It slowly puts more and more light into your environment. Like the sound of an alarm should be... progressively gets a little bit louder and louder, and you can have these that sometimes last 3 or 4 minutes, just really, really low, you know, just enough decibels to sort of start, and you wouldn't necessarily hear it, and the dog's whining because they can hear it but you can't, and so after 4 or 5 minutes, it's not like, oh my goodness me, I'm awake, you know, you've had this light into the room, and you've had this noise that's you have been subconsciously listening to for a few minutes, and so that can be helpful. And there are those types of alarms. Certainly, as a firefighter, you know, and as an emergency in the middle of the night, there's no alarm. There's no progressive alarms. Yeah. It is loud noise.
It goes and it goes.
It's the brightest light that happens. Of course, and that has caused cardiac events on station with colleagues of mine. But it's not the best way to wake someone up. Mm. We know from the research and the science that it needs to be progressive. We take time for our system to, like say, get to operating temperature. You can't expect to get there in 2 minutes.
Yeah, you've got to build up to it. So part of your routine, obviously, there's the wake up and then there's the getting ready and the going. How much of that have you done the night before?
Again, my morning routine differs slightly depending if I'm working a night shift or if I'm at home. And of course, having a baby in last year or so has adjusted that.
Thrown all
routine.
Those routines out.
It's gone out the window. Yeah, I'll put some clothes out ready to go because I'll move as quickly as I can. Within a few minutes of waking, I'll be out on the road running, preferably in early morning, dusk or dawn, sorry, should I say, and light, depending on the time of the year, because I normally wake up around the same time and the sun isn't always up at the same time every, you know, throughout the year, depending on the time. So
Yeah,
clothes I got out there, the drink is already ready. The alarm, of course, is set and away from the bed. And for instance, if I read in the mornings or if I journal in the mornings, which sometimes happens, and I do a cold water immersion in the mornings, that is flip-flops,
brave.
Yeah, and a towel, that's ready to go. So there's a number of things that I do so that when I come back from the run, for instance, it'll be stretch, it'll be meditate, like a meditation mat will be there. So it'll be stretching, meditation, cold water therapy, and then once I'm indoors, it'll be, I'll hydrate straight away as well before I use the toilet. And then it'll be into sort of reading or writing, some sort of journaling or reading. That event occurs. That used to occur a lot longer and a lot more often than it does these days. But I certainly do some sort of you know, planning or working or writing or reading in the morning. Sometimes my morning routine can last 90 minutes. You know, that sounds crazy for some people, 90 minutes, but it's just understanding what I want to achieve. So before most people have woken up, by say 7:30 in the mornings, and this isn't always the case because my kids are up and we have to be, you know, it's a DEFCON 4. We're, you know, by then I've already moved my body, I'm awake, I'm hydrated, you know, I've done a number of morning routines, which for me, you know, whether it's gratitude or practice or a cold water immersion or some flipping into the rest and digest mode by doing some meditation and some yoga stretching, these types of things, for me, I do it for a number of different reasons, because it's, you know, the person I want to become, or because I'm trying to improve in certain areas, or just like the cold water immersion, it's just because I do not want to do it, so that's why I do it, you know, just trying to trick my brain into doing hard things,
yeah,
which for most of my adult life I've done the bare minimum and try to get away with doing nothing. So that's my morning routine. That's of course the best case scenario, but sometimes it might just be a 2-minute run, a 2-minute stretch and a 2-minute dunk, you know, it depends on the children and what's happening.
Yeah, so your routine can change. I mean, we hear a lot about going to bed at the same time, waking up at the same time, and having this rigid kind of stuck routine. Yeah. I guess that's kind of advisable to have the same times going to bed and waking up, but it can be a bit more flexible.
Yeah, again, I'm a practical person, and if you can have consistency with the time you go to bed and the time you wake up, then power to you, and that's going to be achievable for you, then great. But if there's no flexibility, then there's more chance that you won't do something than you will. So if you have some flexibility with the time you go to bed, because you should really go to bed when you're sleepy, not just always the same time, because depending on how much you've moved, depends on how sleepy you are. If you've exercised a lot and you've been up quite early, then there's a good chance you'll be sleepy early. But if you've been quite sedentary that day and you haven't moved a lot, then you won't be particularly tired at your bedtime, quote unquote bedtime. So there's flexibility in the time you should go to bed. Waking up, you should try and keep that as consistent as you can because of the recalibration of your circadian rhythm, but many people don't on weekends, and I always would advocate getting up at the same time at the weekends. But that's from a standpoint of if you want to optimize your sleep and you want to have good sleep hygiene, then waking up at the same time each day, even the weekends, is really advisable. Regularity is important. Consistency, that's the number one go-to tip for anyone that's trying to impact on their sleep. If they say, I'm going to do nothing else but just adjust my sleep, I'm going to give it 30 days and just do one thing and see what happens, just go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time every day, just do that and see how it feels, because that will make the biggest difference.
Yeah.
And then you can start to layer on. I wouldn't say go straight into like a 90-minute morning routine including 10 things. I started with one. It was just get up at the same time every day.
Yeah.
Did that for a few weeks, then get up at the same time every day and move. Okay, it was yoga, for instance, when I did it 3 or 4 years ago. Okay, then get up every day at the same time, do some yoga, then do what? Okay, meditate. You know, it took a number of months to layer these on.
Build it in over time.
And of course, depends if I'm working or what the children are doing, will depend on what routine I do. I say there's a very quick 6-minute hit and there's a 90-minute one, and it's never the same 2 days in a row. But I understand the importance of winding up.
Depends which program you've got time to do.
Yeah. Sometimes
activate four.
Just snoozes 4 times.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about my routine. Basically, usually does involve that standard, very cliche, snooze next to the bed and back to sleep again about 3 times, and then up when you have to.
Yeah.
So putting the phone over to the other side of the room is a good one. And,
definitely.
See if we can build that in.
Yeah. Yeah, start small.
Not doing the whole shredding a £20 note. Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
That's extreme. Yeah, no, that's extreme.
Devastating way to start a day.
Oh, yeah. Horrific. You start off with £20 down and you've already got the
up. I haven't even left bed yet. I've lost £20.
But just be kind to yourself, because it's not going to be perfect every time. It's not going to work every time. Just by pressing snooze doesn't mean you're a bad person. Just trying to understand that, you know, setting the intention, what I say to my people that I work with, if you set the intention the night before, you've increased the chance of it happening. If you set the intention the night before and then plan for it, like with some clothes out or some shoes out or the bed away from them, then you're already even further towards it actually happening.
Yeah.
And then once you do it once, and you know, as Mark Twain says, if you eat that frog, then there's nothing else that in your day that's going to be worse than getting up out of bed when it's -1, when it's dark.
Yeah.
And doing what you said you're going to do. There's nothing, but you're going to feel great. There's going to be a champion behind that. And if you eat that frog and do it enough times, it'll become easier and easier. These things don't get easier, you just get stronger, as the old cliche goes.
Yes, I like it. So morning routines, I think we've got a winning combo there, so we're just going to do everything you're doing there. apart from the cold war we're dipping. Good Lord.
Yeah. This time of year's.
Excellent. So we're going to have a chat next time about some more stuff and get some more, so dive deeper into sleep. But Sleep and Thrive, Dan Everson, thank you so much. Where can we find out more about all of the stuff you're doing and find out some more personal help for our sleep routines?
Oh, yeah. Online is certainly where I'm active. So that's social media, Facebook, Sleep and Thrive, or Instagram, at Sleep and Thrive Coach. On a website, sleepandthrivecoach.com or .co.uk to find out some more stuff. And there's lots of helpful things that you can find out, and also we can chat.
Excellent. And enjoy the rest of your day after our morning has begun well.
Great. I'm going to go and get some more coffee. Thanks, Stuart.